Welcome to Dinner and Dialogue. Today, I am so excited about our topic and what we get ready to discuss because lately we have seen so many things going on in the world dealing with mental health, dealing with suicide and different things. And so today we're going to take the time to talk about suffering in silence. I am LaRonda Glass and I am the host of Dinner and Dialogue, and I have my phenomenal co-host, Miss Miranda Starks, and I will let her introduce herself and tell you a little bit about herself in a few minutes. And we also have an awesome guest with us today, Miss Stephanie Renee, and so we're going to talk to you today about suffering in silence. So I'm going to hand it over to Miss Miranda, and she can introduce herself and let you know what she does.
All right. Hey, y'all. This is Miranda Starks. I am the owner and operator of Miranda's Sweet and Chic Boutique, where I sell $5 paparazzi jewelry. I also have a t-shirt line called Thick Chica. So you can go shop on that site, thickchica.com. And I'm a jack of all trades. I got some other stuff going on. But also, I am the co-host to the awesome and wonderful Miss LaRonda Glass. And which I'm just thankful to be a part of this podcast. And I'm just so glad to be here. All right, Miss Stephanie.
Hey, y'all. My name is Stephanie Renee. I am a math educational consultant for the Kirkland Group. I am also founder and owner of You Matter Tutoring and Consulting, and I have a small women's group that I used to run that I'm about to relaunch again called SIT, Sisters in Transition, and I'm in the process of getting some merchandise together for both. I already have some You Matter Tutoring merchandise in the works. I just need to market it and put it out there, and that's it. So that's the meat of who I am. I'm excited to be on here to talk about this topic of suffering in silence, and I'm excited to see where the rest of the conversation is going. Who's going to touch?
All right. Thank y'all. And so I guess I need to give y'all a little bit about myself. I am a licensed social worker, and right now I am fostering therapeutic foster homes for Southern Christian Services. Also, I am a certified life coach, and I own my own business, Jules Mentoring, LLC, where I mentor children 6 to 17, and I life coach 18 and up. And I also have the podcast, which we're doing today, Dinner and Dialogue, and I have written a journal called Journey Along the Way, and I'm currently in the process of starting writing my second one. So today we're going to start, and so we're like, I said before, we're dealing today with suffering in silence. And I know that many people have seen on the news the different suicides that's going on, the different killings of men killing their baby mamas, and there's just so much going on in the world. And one of the things that we're going to discuss today is about being honest with where you are. I know that as a society, especially, I know every race and gender, I understand that we all have issues, we all have stress. I get that. But sometimes as Black women, because we're talking from a Black woman's perspective, not to put anything on other races or other genders, nothing like that, but we are all three Black women. And so we're speaking from our perspective. So please don't think that we're trying to put anyone down or, you know, mishandle and misjudge anything. We are speaking from personal experiences and our perspective. Because even though we are three Black women, we all have different stories. We all perceive things differently, and we all have different things that we go through. And so we just trying to speak from where we are and how we see things. So the first topic that we're going to speak about today is honesty and being honest with where you are and not being ashamed of where you are. And so for me, for years, I thought, you know, sharing weaknesses and things that you were going through was not good, because I feel like it gave you a form of weakness. Because, you know, as I spoke before, you know, I was raised by a single mother who taught me how to be independent and strong. And you really didn't deal with your issues. You just walked on by them like it was nothing, and you packed them down and you kept working. But as I've gotten older, I realized it's just not what you should do, because it adds so much stress and different things to your body. And if you don't have a way to release those things, it causes more issues, and it causes mental health issues. It causes your body to function differently. So for me, I have learned that releasing it by venting and talking is very good. Now, I do understand that you have to find a safe place to speak to someone with. Some people have friends to do that with, which right. I do, and some people go to therapy. And I hate that, you know, our culture especially thinks that therapy means you're crazy. And that does not mean that. Therapy is a way for you to release those things inside of you that you can't release in other places. So I'm going to go to Stephanie and see what are some things about that you want to speak on about being honest with where you are.
With the honesty piece, I know for me personally, I dealt with shame a lot and guilt. And so when you think about things that you've done, mistakes that you've made, and just trying to keep up whatever appearance people want you to have. As an educator, I was in the classroom for 10 and a half years before I made this transition into being an educational consultant. And nobody cared if I was dealing with something at home. I had to come to work and be on for those kids. I had to come to work and do what my principal or assistant principal, whoever expected me to do that day. So it didn't matter that I had just lost something or I just lost someone or I didn't sleep well the night before. It didn't matter if a kid had cussed me out the day before and I still had to show up to work as if nothing happened and forgive them and keep moving forward. All of the things that came with just my job. And then, you know, you still have issues from your past that you have to deal with from your childhood. And so just recognizing that, okay, there were some things that were that had happened that I was afraid to say out loud. So that shame and that guilt, once you realize that something that you experienced or something that you did is not something that you should have done. So I should myself crazy. and naming all of that, I had to get to a place where, number one, can I say it out loud by myself? Because I didn't want to start talking to friends about it and I say something, say the wrong thing or think the wrong, you know, because you don't know who's going to judge you. I had to learn to first take that judgment of myself away and to know that I am human, and to be human is to make error, is to make mistake, is to make mistakes. But you want to make sure that you learn from them and that you don't continue to repeat them over and over and over and over again. And that's how you get stuck in a cycle. So honesty for me, I had to learn how to take away the shame and the guilt from whatever I experienced, whatever happened to me, what I allowed to happen. The shame and guilt had to be dealt with before I could take the next step to talk about it comfortably and openly.
Awesome. So what are some ways that you dealt with the shame and guilt?
That's a good question. So so with dealing with shame and guilt, I definitely cried a lot. You know, when I used to hear people say, pillow wet with tears. Or you wake up crying and you go to bed crying. You cry yourself to work, you cry yourself home. You soak in the tub and you don't know the difference between the water and your tears. Because it's all just running together. And so I had to give myself a space to cry it out. And we don't always know how to handle somebody when they're crying. It's all, for me, it has always been an awkward experience when somebody bursts into tears. And I realized it was awkward for me because I didn't give myself that space. And even as a kid, when a kid falls or they hurt themselves, you know, they will stop crying. You know, that you're kind of programmed to when tears start, you gotta shut it off. And I had to learn to, number one, recognize I do need to cry. And two, let it flow. Because when you try to cut it off, that leads to the suppression. And you cut it off and you don't, tears just come when they come. You don't know when it's going to restart. But and even especially when you are trying to get work done, especially when you're trying to be a mom or a friend to somebody else, or you're out in the grocery store. Like it's really weird when it happens at those moments, but recognizing that, okay, there's something in me that I need to release and that I need to let out. And I've got to make time and space for this, because if not, it's going to build and it's going to build and it's going to build and it's going to build. And before I know it, now this sadness and this teary place is turning into anger and lashing out. And, you know, when all I had to do was just sit down and let some tears out. So allowing myself the chance to feel and the uncomfortable, the pain of it, the hurt, but like to just let myself feel that and cry, because what will happen is the enemy will trick your mind into thinking that once you start crying, you just will not stop. Once you start feeling that pain, it'll never go away. But it's just like when you stump your toe, you feel that pain and you feel that throb, but your toe is not hurting for an entire week.
Right.
If it is hurting for an entire week, that's a sign that you need to get to somebody's doctor.
Right, right.
After you bump your toe, or after you bump your knee, or you bump your elbow, especially that funny bone, you know, it hurts. It is painful, but it passes. And so I had to give myself permission to let it pass. It's not comfortable, but once it passed, it's like I could literally feel that burden lift. But I had to give myself permission to cry, because it's not we tell people to laugh all the time, like, oh, why are you upset, why are you smiling? You know, you need to laugh, you need to smile, but we haven't made it a norm to tell people it's okay to cry. Like, you probably do need to go in a room and just throw a softball around, because if you have to choose between throwing a ball around versus punching somebody in the face, throw the ball.
right.
You know, and so telling somebody to stop crying versus, you know what, let it out. So creating spaces like that, that you, a person knows you can come in this space and you can let it out. And that's what I had to learn, because it was growing up as a church baby and a lover of God, you're letting it out is only prayer and praise. And it's like, okay, I'm not in church where I got the boom of the drums and the keys floating and the guitar playing. I don't have fellow worshipers around me. I'm by myself now. I'm driving. I'm a mind roaming. I'm not in a hot service, you know. So now what do I do? So I'm not about to just shout and dance in my car.
Right.
And at some point, you're shouting and dancing, I'm still going to have that heaviness. That I need to release, other than just shouting and praying and reading my Bible. At some point, I still have to let that out. And I'm going to end by saying this, that the shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Yep. That's it.
Thing that saints don't like to consistently do is cry. So Jesus wept.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter who people follow, whether it's Confucius or whatever, you know, religion that you follow, I guarantee you at some point that those beings, they cried. And you have to, that's all a part of the human experience, is to cry and to let it out. So I had to create that safe space for myself so that it became easier for me to create that safe space for others.
That's awesome, Steph. Okay, Miss Miranda, what about you and honesty?
I'm going to eat my cookie.
Well, I was listening to a lot of what Stephanie was saying, and I agree with her with the guilt and the shame. But one thing that you brought up is that you were a church baby, and how all you had was the praise and the worship. Well, when I was thinking about it, I was like, I was kind of the opposite. I didn't grow up in church like that. But from different things that I experienced in childhood and stuff like that, I used to hold grudges. Like really, really, really bad. And, you know, just coming up, you know, from childhood all the way up, I just didn't understand why I was certain ways. Like I experienced molestation as a child, bullying really bad as a child and stuff like that. So a lot of that stuff I just held in, but it was like I was angry at the same time. And then it was just like I always held on to this person did that, and this person did that, and this person did that. Right. And then when I turned 18 years old and I went to, ICC, I got saved for real. So from that point on, I was like, okay. So I was super happy, but I still had to learn how to get rid of the grudges. And then eventually, because I was so serious about my faith, and then, you know, being new, you learning about different things, you try to walk the, you know, I was that black and white Christian at one point. If you do this, you're going to hell. And if you do this, you're going to be all right, going to heaven. I was that person for a minute, not fully understanding that there's shades of gray. Chill out a little bit. And so going from the transition of black and white to the shades of gray, it was different experiences that I had in life post being saved that brought on guilt and shame. So it was like I went from holding these extreme grudges to now, whoo, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm good. And then the next thing I know, here I go, I'm shamed and I'm guilt over stuff that I've done or experienced or whatever. And so then going from that, the guilt and the shame, which I dealt with that a long time, even all the way up till I had my son. And see, even I put it this way, even during that time, you know, becoming a minister and all that stuff like that, then here I go, I get pregnant out of wedlock. Then here I go, there's some extra guilt and shame come on top of that. Then I started realizing that I was caring too much about what other people thought. Mm-hmm. So then you have to transition into, well, what does God say about you? You know, what he says is what matters. So then you transition it into, okay, well, let me just worry about him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just, it makes me just think of Michelle Obama when she said, you're always becoming. And it's just like, even with the honesty thing, that's just a thing that you're going to transition into different levels with throughout your whole life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It goes from, I mean, from baby to toddler to teen to adult. And then even as an adult, you just continuing to transition to being honest with yourself about different issues that you're going to have, because we're going to run into different things as we continue to, you know, get older, as we continue to live. You know what I'm saying? So that was my thing. And then even with you talking about the crying, that is so, I thought that was so good what you were talking about, because even the Bible speaks about how God keeps our tears in a bottle. Tears are so cleansing. And it's just like, you know, I was like that at one point. I really didn't cry a whole lot, you know, and all that stuff just builds up on the inside of you. And it's, you know, it's like you said, you will explode. Mm-hmm. So it's just being honest about where you are and just dealing with what you have to deal with. And another thing I dealt with was trying to deal with too much at one time. Be like, baby, you can't take care of everything at the same time. Be honest. Now, look, if this is what, you know, you got this set of issues, deal with one at a time. You know what I'm saying? Be honest. Get this together. Then go to the next level of honesty and deal with this area of life. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, everything you were saying was good. It just made me think of just kind of my walk in life or whatever. And I'm just really thankful that, you know, like you could come from your perspective of just being the church kid. I come from my perspective of not being the church kid, not doing that till later. You know what I'm saying? And then even LaRonda, you know, you were talking about how you were raised by a single parent and how you were taught to be, you know, kind of hard. And I think in a lot of ways too, if we're honest with ourselves, it is a hardness of heart that we're all dealing with when it comes to being honest. You know what I'm saying? If you are not honest about the heart condition, you're never going to heal.
Yeah. That's true. And I think, you know, because I wasn't raised in the church either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I went to church because, you know, they told us we had to go. But after my parents divorced, when I was like 11 or 12, my mom didn't force that on me. So I didn't have to go. I went before those ages because, you know, my grandmother and my dad and all them was, you know, heavy in the church religion. But after that, my mom didn't make me go. And so I didn't go, and I didn't really get back in church until like after the death of my child's father, to really try to get a balance of stuff. And one of the things that you know, the church really don't talk about it is that they come, like Stephanie said, it, pray about it, pray about it, pray about it. And so you praying and you praying and you praying, but nothing is happening. Right. And I look at some of the old church people and the things now, it's like, y'all been praying for 20 years and still in the same boat. Well, at some point, you're going to have to do something outside of prayer, because prayer is the gateway. You have to pray. I get that. But you also have to get a understanding and listen to direction on what to do next. Because it's just not about you going to the Father and just telling him what you want. You know, there are some things that you're going to have to do the work with to be free from some things. So in that being my honesty, you know, I had to come to grip with, Rhonda, you are not this person. You know, you want to be strong. You want to be this. You want to be that. But in reality, it's a little bit too much. And I think I started realizing that when I was working for CPS, you know, and I'm carrying all this stuff on me, and I'm a single mother with two children, and my body began to break down. And so I'm like, okay, something got to give, because I shouldn't be this broken down, you know. And I had to realize, bro, there are just some things that you can't carry all this by yourself. And I thank God, you know, that Stephanie came into my life, because in my mind, you know, I'm like, I'm just supposed to be a worker and a mother, because that's what I was taught. I didn't know that I could have a life outside of working my kids, because I was taught that once you have children, your life is pretty much over. And so, you know, I just became a mother. So in my honesty, I had to realize that there's more for me outside of life with as a social worker. Because, you know, as social workers, you deal with everybody's problems. Yes. Your caseload is filled with people with nothing but problems. And then you coming home with children with problems. So where is it in that space that you have time to deal with your problems, because you're looking at everybody else's problems? So I had to learn, in my honesty, Rhonda, it's okay not to be strong. And now that I've gotten older, I don't want people to call me strong anymore, because I don't even think that that's a good word to call us. You know, and as Black women in general, people always see us as a strong Black woman. But in being that strong Black woman, we are living in a deficit of so many things, because we carry this persona like everything is okay, and it's not okay. It's not okay that we carry all this baggage. It's not okay that we have to go behind closed doors and shed a tear and take a hot shower, shake it off, and get back out like ain't nothing wrong. It is not okay. And you know, and I was thinking about my cousin, you know, she talked to me last night, and one of the things that we're gonna talk about too is, like, she was like, you know, her husband passed. And we was talking, and my heart broke, because she was like, I don't have a safe place anymore. So you got all these people around you.
Wow.
And you going through the most difficult time of your life. And even through the most difficult time of your life, losing your provider, your protector, your safe place, people still coming to you with their problems.
Right.
Like, how selfish can it be? And I was just thinking about it. She's suffering in silence, and nobody is seeing it. And so, you know, and that's one of the things I want to talk about now is, like, what are some of your safe places? Like, what do you do? Okay, after you're honest and you're facing your dilemmas, you're facing your truth, I'm not strong. You know, there's some weakness in me, and I need help. So when you get to these parts, because I understand that you can't talk to everybody, because some people will use your stuff against you to manipulate you, then go behind your back and talk about you. So what are some safe places that y'all have, you know, received, or that y'all have to help you deal with the honesty, where you can go vent and not be judged and not be, you know, knocked down and not be saying, girl, you're going to be okay. Well, you can just be vulnerable for a moment, because y'all know vulnerability was not easy for me, and it took me years to learn vulnerability, because I'm just like, deal with it. You can get over it.
My pretzels,
okay? So, you know, God had to break me down. Rhonda, you got to be open and vulnerable. And so vulnerability is hard when you don't know how to communicate. You have to really be open, because you've been closed so much, and life just takes a, you know, you just take life with it and just go. So what are some safe places that you have to deal with your vulnerability, to be in a place where you can just vent and not be judged, and it's okay to release these things? What are some things that you do, Miranda?
Well, I am a journaler. That has always been like my number one thing. 'Cause I'll just get somewhere and get my quiet place and just sit down, because I'm always, when I journal, I'm always talking to God in it anyway. But it's just been times where I have been going through some of the worst things that I've ever experienced, and I'll just sit down and I'm just like, crying while I'm writing. But that's one of my main things, that in that journal I can just really sit down and I'm really truly honest, and I can say things that I want to say. Like I said, I got my best friends, and got our girls group and stuff like that, where I really feel like there's no judgment or nothing like that. But sometimes you just need something extra to really, really get out what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? And so that's my thing. I will sit down and I will journal and get whatever's on my heart off. And then a lot of times sometimes I go back and I just read back over it. And it's just amazing, because even when you sit down and you write it out, after some time, you can go back and see, the progress that you've made. You know what I'm saying? Just even emotional wise and stuff like that. So yeah, that's my thing. I'm a journaler. I've been a journaler since I was probably about 10 years old.
Oh, wow. What about you, Steph?
Oh man. I definitely agree with journaling, and I was just sitting here looking on my desk. I'm so terrible. I have different journals for different things sometimes. So like I got, things that I enjoy. Like blue is one of my favorite colors, and I love flowers. So I got this journal so I can, talk about my happy thoughts or my happy plans for the day. I also love sunflowers. And so I got this journal because it has sunflowers. So I'm like Miranda, I definitely like to journal, and I've gotten to a point where certain journals for certain things. And I'm able to look back and see what was I thinking that day. Now when I can't get to a journal, sometimes I record on my phone. So I'll put the recorder on. I could be in the car, or I could be in my room, or I could be in the bathroom, and I'll hit record on the phone. And sometimes I struggle to find the words. So for the people who you don't even know what it's like to figure out the words, when I come home from work, before I go in the house, I'll just sit in the car. And I won't have on any music. I won't have on, just anything. But I will take 5 to 10 minutes to just sit and say nothing. Especially with a job where you talk all day, sometimes you need time for your mouth to not move and your brain to start to slow down. So that 5 to 10 minutes just sitting in the car. If I'm in the bathroom, even though I'm done doing my business, I'll just sit in the bathroom extra 5 to 10 minutes. Even if I'm not in there doing any business, I'm getting ready to take a shower, I will let the water run before I get in there 5 to 10 minutes. So, because what happens to the body, those 5 to 10 minutes add up and fill up whatever emptiness you experienced in the day. And it because everybody won't have an hour to sit down and journal. Everybody won't have 2 hours of absolute silence all the time. But if you can find a 5 to 10 minute moment to just sit and meditate, to just start to begin to clear your head, and that could be where you start to figure out if you need to cry or not, or if you're angry or not, just to do a self checking in. Even before I eat lunch, while my food is in that microwave, or while I'm taking moments to just slow myself down. And so those are some of the tools that I've gained along the way. But taking a moment to just stop, a deep breath works every single time. You're in the middle of a moment just going, okay, giving yourself that moment to process what is being said to you and how you want to respond. And if you're not sure about how to respond, you can always say back to the person, okay, I want to make sure I heard you right. Is it this, 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 and this, or that, and that? And just taking that moment to do a self-check-in before I engage in anything. So the journaling and self checks have been vital to my life. And I definitely thank God that I do have people that I can call Now, they may not always be available, but that's when I go back to what can I do to check in with me if so-and-so can't pick up the phone at that moment or if so-and-so can't respond to this text. There are some things that I can do until I'm able to talk to who I need to talk to, because I've gone to therapy, and there were moments after therapy where I wish I could talk to somebody at 1 in the morning, but they weren't accessible. So I had to do those self-check-ins and recording out loud, whatever I needed to do to make sure that I got back to my okay. And so far, it's been working. Some days are better than others, but I'm doing what I can. Oh, and drinking hot tea, that also helped me. So you don't have to buy expensive teas, but if you go in the aisle in Walmart or Kroger or whatever store you shop at, and they have the teas that'll help relax you, like peppermint tea or, you know, your essential oils, rubbing that on you. So there's some things that I did to help me to calm down and get back to my center.
Well, yeah, some of the things I do for my safe place is sit in the shower. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would just go in there and I would just sit there and let those shower. I had a shower on and I just let it run. And I will lay my head back and I will just listen to my spirit. And as doing that, you know, things will start to come to me to give me understanding of why things are happening the way they are happening. And it also challenges me to change some things about myself too when I do that. Because I'm open to, you know, what Christ has to say. Well, some people call it spirit, some people call it universe. Whatever you call it, I call it Christ. I call it the Holy Spirit. That's what I call it. So, you know, and I begin to listen to my spirit and things begin to come to me that makes sense. And sometimes it's not always, a lot of times it's not logical, but it works for me. Another thing that I've learned to do is I talk to Stephanie a lot, and she is one of those people that just allows me to vent it out and not judge. I have not always had that, you know, and now I'm coming into a more friendship because I could talk to Miranda, you know, we talk, and we're coming into other friendships that can do that. But I know there's a lot more that Stephanie knows about me that many don't know. Now, Miranda, you know a good piece, you know. So I just have, you know, but, you know, that's a growth spurt for me because I didn't talk to people at all. When I went through stuff, I dealt with it alone, and that was dangerous because that makes me come up with assumptions, and sometimes those assumptions wasn't true. And so, but because I had no one to challenge those thoughts, it was my truth until, you know, I had to start speaking and getting different perspectives on things and, you know, reevaluating things. Another thing that I love to do now is put my earphones in my ear and turn on YouTube and listen to affirmations. And I just sit there and just rock and listen to affirmations. To calm my mind so I can hear better. And it helps me. And I do that morning and night. I don't get out of bed now without first listening to a prayer. I pray, but it seems like something is better when I listen to one. So I turn on YouTube and I listen to a prayer. And after listening to a prayer, I would turn on something motivational and just listen to it. Lately, I've been listening to these little motivational things with Steve Harvey, T.D. Jakes, Les Brown, and Joel Osteen. Because I don't care what nobody say, Joel Osteen is the best encourager in the world. So I would listen to that, and then I would listen to affirmations. And so that's what my morning routine is now. At night, I am listening to a prayer, and I'll listen to affirmations. But I have learned, I am growing now to where I can't rest at night if I don't read. And so right now I'm reading Tabitha Brown's book, Feeding the Soul, and I'm loving it.
Girl, I just got that book. I cannot wait.
I won't talk about it, but it's good.
Okay, I can't wait. I love her. So yeah.
Another book me and Stephanie read together was A Year of Yes.
Oh my God.
I need to get that book.
Yeah, and I just got through reading April Mason's Identity Switch. Now I love that one.
Now, April Mason, when she made the statement about don't call me a strong, independent woman.
Black woman. Mm-hmm.
Right, because when you're strong, nobody ever comes to your aid. Call me interdependent. I was like,
yes, and that's one of the reasons why I stopped looking at that, because she's right. When you are considered strong, people think that you're just naturally okay. They don't come to you. Oh, she can handle it. No, I can't handle it. I need help. I need some help.
Right.
So, you know, I've been reading a lot, you know, getting myself those safe places too. So with reading and build, with honesty, with building safe places, what are some things and how can we learn to build healthy boundaries and learn to say no?
Oh, wow.
Let's go, Steph.
Oh, gosh. saying no, and what was the other part?
Learning to build healthy boundaries and being okay with saying no and also walking away.
Okay, so I laugh because I am not a mom. I am not married, and I am I want to be married one day. I want to be a mom one day. And I am a definite believer that I'm not posting or talking about a guy publicly that's not my husband. So I don't want to have to deal with, you know, if it, and I know this sounds crazy, I don't want to publicly have to deal with if it doesn't work out.
Amen. I'm with you, girl. I will never again.
We booed up, we taking professional photos, we taking trips, and everybody see us hanging out, and all of a sudden, I'm not posting anything about him or what I'm doing. I don't even want to be on social media now. So I don't want to publicly talk about people that I'm talking to and I don't know how it's going to go.
Right.
Even after marriage, it's still you still don't know how it's going to go. And so that's a boundary that when it comes to dating and men, hard boundary that I've set for myself. And so in creating those boundaries, I had to learn how to effectively communicate what I can handle and what I cannot handle. And on that, it's different for everybody. And so what I can handle and what I can put up with, somebody else may not. What my needs are different from somebody else's needs. What my wants are different from somebody else's wants. So when it came to jobs, when it came to just anything in my life, I had to think about what am I going to prioritize that's going to keep me in a good space. And so learning how to say no was, number one, you don't have to explain. No means no.
Yep. Complete sentence.
And it's, with no period. Right. No exclamation point. It does not have to be no comma, no semicolon, no because, or no, I wish I could, but no buts, no ifs, no ands, just no. Mm-hmm. And that was hard because I always felt like I had to explain or give some type of logic or reason behind my no. And I didn't want, I felt like if I say no to this, then how is it going to impact that person? And what is it going to do to them? And what negative domino effect, is it going to cause if I say no to them? What if I'm supposed to say yes? You know, because as a minister and as a person who loves God, you want to extend and help and help and give and give and give. But the Bible also tells us not to cast our pearls before swine. And so, I say that with all authority. If somebody gets in their feelings behind it, great, because you might be the swine. And when you realize that you're giving a person pearl after pearl after pearl after pearl after pearl, and they won't do anything with it, and they just want to keep pulling and pulling and pulling and taking. Well, then you look back and you ain't got no more pearls to give. And right. They are still a pig in the mud. Yep. So at some point, if either you're going to join them in that pit or you're going to decide, you know what, it's a lot of mess over here. They aren't trying to get out. They don't want to heal. They don't want to change. They don't want to grow. They like being stuck, because some people like being stuck. The pigsty is their safe space. The pigsty is their norm. And so when I realized that there were different things and different goals and different priorities that I wanted to do for myself that other people didn't want to do, it made saying no and walking away easier. Now, did it hurt in the beginning? Absolutely. But when you walk away, you realize, oh, man, that stench of the pit is gone. I don't have to, you know, smell it. I don't have to hear the oinks and the noise behind it. I am literally in my peace, and I only invite people in that can join me in my peace, and we continue in peace together. And so that helped me to learn how to say no, to set those boundaries, because I know what my peaceful place looks like. I know what my peaceful place feels like, because I found that and I made that within myself. Did it take therapy? Yes. Did it take hard conversations with myself? Yes. Did it take tears? Yes. Did it take having hard conversations with people that I love? Yes. But for the people who are really for you and the people who are really attached to whatever it is that God wants you to do, they aren't going anywhere anyway. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
So whoever you're supposed to be connected to, they will remain. But the dead weight will naturally drop off. The stench and all of that will naturally come off, because you don't want to be surrounded by people who are not helping you to progress and move forward. But if you don't know what progressing and looking forward and moving forward looks like for you, you'll keep throwing those pearls before swine. And before you know it, your cup is empty. And so I had to learn to keep what I had in my cup and to keep the pearls that I had and apply them to myself first before I could share and with other people. Same thing with when you're on an airplane. They tell you to secure your mask first so that you can breathe.
Right.
You up here trying to make sure everybody else got their mask on, baby, you finna die. And everybody else is gonna live. Right. So when I had to choose between, am I going to die? Because if I die, I can't help anybody else live anyway.
Right.
That's so right.
I'm gonna kind of piggyback off of what she was saying, because I know that's been my thing as of late. I know she was saying, you know, she wasn't a mom, she wasn't married. Well, I'm a mom, not married. But one thing that I'm recognizing is that I have to make sure that people only get from me what's in the overflow of my cup. I have to keep my cup full. Yes. I have to keep my cup full, because it's like, even as far as my son is concerned, I noticed that when I'm happy and I'm in a good place, he's even better. So it's just like, you're coming from the place where you realize, we really can determine what our environment is, but a lot of it is based on from what you have coming from within. So it's just like, okay, if I'm in a good place, and I'm, you know, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what my purpose is. I know what my goals are. I know where I'm going, what I'm doing. Then everything around me is going to have to automatically shift, because I'm going to be very purposeful in the decisions that I make. And I'm going to be very purposeful as far as people that, like she was saying, that you have surrounding you. And just, you know, if it's certain things, it's not going to align with where I'm going, the path that I'm going on right now. No is going to be a lot easier to say. And I know for me, I was always the type of person that was trying to help everybody. If somebody called on me, I said yes. If somebody need me to do something, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, wearing myself out. And so now I've got to the point where, no, if I don't feel like going somewhere, I'm not going. If I don't want to talk to you, I'm not answering your phone call. If I don't want, you know, it's just certain things you have to do for your own mental health. And not just mental, but physical health as well. Because, we getting older, whatever. Even though I say like fine wine, I'm getting better with time. But it's just different things that, I started to experience in my body. And say for example, I had never had an anxiety attack before until right after my father passed. And I think it was just a buildup of years and years and years of going and running and being and doing for everybody else, but not making sure that Miranda was straight. And that started building up. So I was like, with when I started experiencing the anxiety attacks, I'm like, no, hold up. Now that ain't me. I ain't anxious like that. I ain't never in my life experienced anything like that. But that moment, it really helped me to realize, Miranda, you got to take care of you. Because it's just like this. I'm always telling people all the time, there's a reason for you to be here. You have a purpose to fulfill in the earth. And then even Miles Monroe said that the graveyards are filled with purpose. Filled with,
the richest
just
place
different
on earth.
things. Yeah, just filled with it. And I said, God, I will not leave this earth full. I will leave this earth empty.
Right.
And, just even with that, just coming from that point of view, I'm like, I got a son I got to raise. God entrusted me with him. We need some more good men in this earth. I need to be here and I need to be a good woman. I need to be a healthy and whole woman so that he can see what he needs to be attracted to in the future. And I refuse for him to walk around here and come get some old thotty, crazy, female. So even it, it's just the different things you don't realize that when you are a healthy person, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, how it affects everything around you. And I'm just like, when you are in a good place here, you're going to make the right decisions. You're going to do the right things. So that's, I'm look, if my cup is not overflowing and I ain't got nothing on my little coaster, then you can't get nothing from me today. That's just it. I need to be pouring some extra need to be flowing off. And if it's not, leave me alone till I get there. Okay. So it's just, you have to fight for yourself.
I agree with both of you all. I think my greatest lessons to building healthy boundaries, learning to say no and walk away is the power of choice, the power of decision, and the power of reciprocity.
Whoop, there you said it right there, reciprocity. That's my favorite word.
As naturally, women, like I said before, we are natural nurturers. We want to help everybody that we can, some of us. And especially if you have the gift of empathy, it
Your Lord.
weighs on you to do more than you are actually required and obligated to do.
That's true.
And that's why you have to have a strong sense of discernment to know what it is you need to do and what it is that you're just doing because you choose to do because this is just who you are.
Right.
So I think the number one thing for me in building that healthy boundaries, saying no and walking away is, Rhonda, you're not obligated.
That's it.
You're only obligated to do what you can. And that is what you have, given to yourself first. You cannot give somebody something that you don't have. Stop trying. And so it comes to the point to where if you giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and not getting nothing in return, like both of you said, you're going to run dry. You're not going to have anything to give. And so I had to learn, you have to find people, one, that wants the same level that you want and that's going to the same place that you want to go. Because if you have somebody that's speaking that they want it, but truly don't want it, it's going to drag you down because they are distractions. And they're going to come keep getting your benefits, but ain't growing with nothing. And so you're thinking that you're helping them when in reality, they're not listening to nothing that you're saying because they just need your energy. They need your vibe. And so
Leeches.
they're draining you and you're distracted from what you're needing to do. So you're going to have to be like, no, I'm done with this. If it comes to a point that there's no reciprocity, and if I'm constantly drained by you, If I'm constantly not moving forward and I'm not getting what I need to get done because I'm dealing with you and your issues and your drama, and you're calling me, keeping me on the phone 1, 2, 3 hours, and then you ain't changing nothing, I got to let you go.
Because come on now.
You don't really want it. You just speaking you want it. But there are some things that you going to have to work out between you and your creator or higher power, whatever you call it. But Rhonda is
don't even blame it on their higher power. That's them.
But I know Rhonda is not obligated to fix anybody. It is not my job. My job is to do what I can do. And if there's a plant a seed, I plant a seed. If it's a water a seed, I water a seed. But I am not the one to get the harvest. That is not my position. Okay. So I had to learn that if nothing has been reciprocated, and if I'm just in this and I'm drained every time I talk to you, if you call my phone and my thing is like, oh God, what now? Then I know that it's time for me to set some boundaries. So if you call me, I can't give you no hour. 15 minutes tops for you to say what you got to say. But at some point, I'm not going to have nothing else to say because I didn't gave you everything I had to give you and you ain't used that. So my answer is I'm going to give you 15 minutes of my time. If I feel that I need to say something, I will say it. If not, then I'm going to be like, okay, well, I understand. I'm going to let you go. And saying no is learning to say yes to me.
That's good.
It's just the fact that you have to know your value. And so many times, women especially, we depreciate our value because we truly don't know what we're worth. But now that I'm learning my value and my worth, I would not do that to myself. I would not lower my cost to benefit nobody no more. Either you're going to pay the price for me, or you just going to be without me. That's just the end of the situation. I'm not going to keep giving you my goods for free. You're going to have to make a decision to give me something. And I don't want what you giving everybody else, okay? So you're going to have to see come on the now. Value in me to see who I am and to know that I am worth the money, the sacrifice, the time, the whatever that you give me. And I'm not just some chick that you just, you know, playing around with or whatever. So my walking away game now is getting stronger. Why? Because I am learning to commit to myself.
Yeah,
I am learning to give myself the commitment that I wanted from other people. Not just relationship-wise, but friendship-wise.
Yeah.
Because everybody don't see things the way you see them. So if they don't see it, it's okay. You see it in yourself. So I'm on a journey in my transition now is commit to myself. I'm not trying to give nobody that nothing that I can't give me. And I can't expect anything from anybody that they don't have, that I'm not willing first to give myself anyway. So my thing is I'm committing to me. I'm learning to say no. I'm learning to walk away because you're going to have to see my value in order to even take me to the next level. If you can't take me to the next level, then I have to leave you where you are because you're a distraction to me. And I refuse to be stuck in Egypt
that now.
And not get my promise. I was promised the promise.
Come on now, Rhonda.
I was promised the promise. And I'm not going to let no Egyptian, whatever,
yes,
keep me from receiving what's mine. I will leave this world empty, just like you said, Miranda. I'm leaving this world empty. But before I leave this world, God promised me to have good in the land of the living.
What you said? Come on now.
He promised me.
With long life, he shall satisfy me. I will leave this world satisfied. Abundantly. That's it.
He promised me that there will be houses I didn't build and vineyards I didn't plant. So you better.
I got to throw something.
So with that being said, we're going to go to the last subject, and that is learning to say yes to you.
Woo-hoo!
Saying yes to you. And so learning for me, learning to say yes to me has been the biggest and most freeing thing ever. because, you know, giving yourself to so many people for so long, you forget to even look at yourself. You don't dress yourself up. You don't think about, you know, when you're walking in the world, your mind is like, what can I do for somebody else? Well, and that's good. But at the end of the day, what can you do for yourself? I am in the transition of developing and creating the woman that God showed me in my spirit. And until I see the vision of that woman, I can't stop. And so when I say I'm committing to myself, that is not just physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I want to be the total package for my husband. I want to be able to give him everything that I've given myself. I want to be able to freely give that to him and not expect him to do anything other than just be who God created him to be and support him in his endeavors. When I think about a wife, we are helpers. So if I'm going into a relationship, I need to be able to help my husband with where he is. But if I ain't first helped me, I can't give him nothing. I refuse to enter a marriage where it's full of chaos and we arguing all the time about different stuff. I want to enter my marriage with effective communication. And in order to have effective communication, I first have to have conversations with myself to see, you know, how to do that. So, I have to be able to listen to what he's saying. And being a single for years and an independent woman, that's going to be a little challenging, okay? But, you know, I want to be able to give that to him, not just to him, but to myself and my family. You know, he may come with children. I need to be able to be the best bonus mom I can be. I have adult children, so I want him to be able to speak to my kids. So saying yes to you opens you up to so many different avenues. Even with saying yes to me in my business, one day I don't want to go clock in at a job. I want to be able to just walk into my office and do what I need to do, and then have people working for me. Something that I heard on an affirmation last night, and it stuck with me, it said, money is your servant. I was like, who? But so many times, we are slaves to the money.
Come on now.
But truth to the matter is, money does what we say do. Money comes when we say come. And saying yes to you opens you up to different manifestations in your life. And so my yes to me, it's committing to me wholeheartedly. No matter what I have to walk away from or who I have to walk away from, right now my priority is becoming the total package. And I'm going to walk this thing out. It ain't easy. But that's my saying yes to me, because once I'm the total package, I'm able to give myself more freely, but more wisely. Mm-hmm. And not overdoing it, because even though I'm going to be working, I'm yet going to be vacationing too, okay?
Mm-hmm. Come
on
now.
I'm going to have a balance in it all. So Miranda, what are some ways that you are beginning to say yes to you?
Well, one of the things is being okay with me, because I'm like this. If I'm not okay with me, ain't nobody else going to be okay with me. If I'm not okay with Miranda sitting in the room by herself, enjoying her own company, why in the world would I think that somebody else is going to enjoy my company? That's one thing. But two is saying yes to me is really embarking on the things that's in my heart. Like, I have a lot of different visions and dreams and aspirations and stuff in my heart. And for a long time, because I was concerned about what other people would have to say about what I wanted to do, I didn't do them. So saying yes to me is actually taking those leaps of faith. And I have, when I tell you, oh Lord, I have been taking some serious leaps of faith. And, you know, along the way, you know, you'll have naysayers and stuff like that. But I've even gotten to the point where I can't worry about what nobody else thinks. I just can't be concerned with it. Because saying yes to me means not caring about what somebody else has to say. Just period. I just gotta tune them out. I gotta be like a horse with blinders on. Because I know if those certain things are in my heart, those are certain things that God gave me, I gotta do it. And I can't worry about nobody else. I just can't. I gotta keep moving forward. So those are my things. Like, in this season of my life, I'm chasing the bag. I am at a position where, okay, if somebody has something to say about me, about what I did, how they didn't like how I did something, okay, kick rocks. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But Miranda gonna keep on going. You know what I'm saying? And then also another saying yes to me is, like, I know we're talking a lot about mental health and stuff like that, but even as far as physically, I had to become okay with me even in that, wherever I am at. No matter what position I'm in, no matter what shape I'm in, Miranda's going to be okay with herself where she's at that time. So if I'm a little extra fluffy, she's going to dress it up and she's going to walk in that room, because wherever my feet tread, it is my territory. You know what I'm saying? That's how I'm saying yes to me. Be like, you are a force to be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? Just realizing that about yourself. And because I used to dumb myself down. And used to think that was being humble, but that ain't being humble. Shoot, I am who God said I am. Yeah. I'm a force in this world. And if you can't handle that, then you can't handle it. And that's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? So all of that, that's just the parts of saying yes to me. It's just total acceptance of Miranda, period.
Awesome. Okay, Steph. Mm-hmm.
Well, saying yes to myself, someone said to me, you are a whole vibe. And I wanted to consider, when I enter a space, what is coming with me when I walk into that space.
Oh, that's good.
Here comes Stephanie. Oh, I can't be who I really am, because here come, oh, I can't do such and such, because, you know, do I bring people down? Do I lift them up? But if I'm in a down place, then when I walk in the room, guess what? I could bring down everybody else. Or if I'm in a space that's up or in a good space, I could come in and infiltrate and bring that good energy. Mm-hmm. But either way, I have to decide that. And so just recognizing, when I enter a space, what do I bring in and what am I going to see that's in this space already? I'm going to say, you know what? You can stay right there. I'm not taking you with me.
Come on now.
I don't want you to bring down my vibe. I don't want you to shift my vibe. I don't want you to move me out of the space that I'm in. So saying yes to me looked like, you know what? I can do so much. And then after I've done that, it's time to retract.
Come on. I love it.
Sure that I stay in a good place, because when I walk out of the room, I'm only walking out with me.
That's it.
And I have to deal with me. And yeah, I'm not about to deal with my set of issues, everybody in the room and all of their issues and all of that, because I am an empathetic person. People do feel comfortable opening up to me. They like telling me things about their lives. But just because they have things going on with them doesn't mean that I have to carry it. And so that's what saying yes to me looked like. All right, I can be present for other people. I can shift the feel of an environment just from me showing up. And I can also make sure I take that back with me. It doesn't have to leave me drained. Like when Rhonda was speaking earlier, that she would, if somebody was in need, okay, you'll get about 15, maybe 20 minutes of my time. especially if somebody you talk to repeatedly and the advice hasn't changed, the story hasn't changed. Might be different people, might be a different location, but it's still the same scenario, you know, just learning how to maneuver like that. So those things help me to make sure that I remain in control of myself. So that would be the number one thing, self-control and recognizing that when I walk into a space, I carry things with me too. And it's up to me what I do while I'm in that space, for however long I'm in there.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much. We're finna come to the end of our podcast.
Awesome.
And so I'm just going to review what we have discussed today. And everybody, I thank you so much for being on, Stephanie, for being our guest and my co-host, Miss Miranda. So today we talked about honesty. We talked about setting healthy boundaries, learning to say no, and learning to walk away. What are some things that we do to do those things? And we learned saying yes to self. And those are very important, especially for those out there that's suffering in silence. my ending comment to ending comment for you today is you don't have to suffer in silence. I know that it's hard when you have trust issues to talk to someone. I get that. But you don't always have to talk to someone. They got suicide hotlines. They got different therapy things that you can do online. So my request to you is that if you are suffering in silence and you are going through issues that you just don't know how to bear any longer, and your mind is constantly overflowing with things and it's getting to the point to where you just can't take it anymore, please, I am begging you, seek help. Even if you can inbox us, you know, I have a Facebook page, Jewel Mentor LLC. Miranda has Miranda Sweet and Cheek Boutiques Facebook page. Stephanie has You Matter Tutoring Facebook page. You know, there's ways that you can reach out to us if you just need to vent it out. But just know that you do not have to suffer in silence. You are worth your fight. And even though people may not see it, even though you think people may not see it, you got to know for yourself that you are worth your fight. You are worth you telling the truth about where you are. It's okay to say no. It's okay to cry. It's okay not to be in the best position. But that doesn't mean that you have to stay there. You have to see your pain as purpose. Because I'm telling you, if you allow yourself to go through it and get to the other side, you will see promise. So learn how to just open up, even if it's just opening up to yourself and journaling. Like Miranda, I do journal, but I don't journal every day like I should. But when they get to the point to where I want to change something about myself, I do journal. Learn that it's okay to say no. Learn that it's okay to walk away. Learn that, you know, you have to set healthy boundaries, because until you do it, people will literally use you till you are dried up and have nothing else to give. When you are going through traumatic events and situations, let people know, I can't talk to you right now. I can't help you because I need to focus and help myself. So I'm going to ask each of the ladies, what is something you want to leave today with on this podcast when they understand you do not have to suffer in silence? What is your advice to them on today, Steph?
My first thing is similar to where I started. Sometimes finding the words is the struggle. For me, it came in feeling it first before I could articulate it. It may have been a chest pain or a headache or I'm really, really tired or exhausted. And I had to ask myself why, to get to the roots of why of how and why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. So if you're struggling to find the words, look at things that are happening to you that are that normally would not happen, whether it be in your mind or in your body, in your bank account. Look for trends of things that are outside of your norm and have a negative impact. And so when you find those things, that's a great place to start to find the words to describe where you are. If you are noticing that you're always in the negative in your bank account, then start looking at, okay, well, what am I spending my money on? How much am I bringing in? Am I living above my means? Am I doing too much to try to help somebody else to where I'm not okay? If you're noticing that you're not drinking enough water, well, what are you doing in your day that's keeping you from drinking enough water so you can start making those adjustments? Because all of that impacts your mental health. All of that impacts your physical health. If you're not eating well, if you're not eating the right food items, all of that is connected to your mind. And so paying attention to what is happening in your body and then asking yourself why. And once you start asking yourself why, then it'll help you to be able to find the voice to what's going on. Because different pains and aches can be signs and symptoms of stress, of grief, of shame, of guilt. It can and will show up in the body. So don't dismiss those alarms. They're there for a reason. So that'll be my biggest thing. Pay attention to what's happening in your body, and it will answer everything that you are experiencing in your life. And then you can begin to unravel all of this entangled mess that sometimes we create and other people put us in, but it'll begin to unravel and you'll see yourself come out of those hard, rough, dark spaces. The honesty has to be there. What else did you say, Rhonda? The honesty, the
learning to set healthy boundaries, saying no and walking away.
You know, walk out that comes
and saying yes to you.
All of that happens when you start paying attention to what is happening in your body. Pay attention to what's happening in your body, and you'll start to see changes in every other area of your life. So that's my encouragement. If you need someone to talk to, my name is here, and it's the same name on TikTok, Stephanie R. Wells on social media, and my You Matter Tutoring page is on Facebook. I also have a website, www.youmattertutoring.com. I'm about to relaunch Sisters in Transition, so that'll be a safe space for people to talk and to deal with their transitions and changes in life, and to have a safe space and a support group. So many blessings to all of you that are watching. I'm glad that you tuned in.
Miranda?
Well, I'm just going to piggyback on Stephanie, too, because Stephanie be saying everything that's in my head is about. But no, one thing I had to, I just put it in these words. You have to feel, then deal in order to heal. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, sometimes you do. You just have to sit down and you just have to really be real with yourself. Look at yourself and determine what, you know, just look at the decisions you made. And just think about why you've made them, but also look at the people around you, because sometimes the people around you will affect the decisions that you made. So it's just, you know, if you don't deal with yourself and if you don't allow yourself to feel, because it's like she was saying, pain is a signal that something is wrong, or and pain also can be a signal of healing as well. So you have to allow yourself to feel those things in order to deal with them, in order to heal. And healing is the final goal. So when it comes to things like that, if you're dealing with anything mental health wise, seek some outside, you know, help. Therapy, if you want to go talk to your pastor or whatever, a good friend, yeah, that's great. Do that. But at the same time, make sure that you're sitting with yourself. Because self-realization is first. You know what I'm saying? If you don't realize certain things about yourself, you really can't go to the next level like you need to, because you have to be willing to do the work. So I just want to say, and I say this to everybody all the time. I even say this on my lives when I'm doing a paparazzi live, but I just want people to know that every time you look in the mirror, remember that God created you and that everything that He creates is beautiful and good. So don't get so down on yourself. Don't let the enemy get you so down that you just think that you are just no good. God created you, and you are beautiful, and you are good. And yes, you do have a purpose in this earth, okay? So there is always hope. There's always hope.
All right, then. Miranda, you want to give your information?
Oh, yeah. If you want to reach out to me, my name is Miranda Starks on Facebook. I do have Thick Chica, T-H-I-C-C. C-H-I-C-A LLC. I have that page. And then also have Miranda Sweet and Chic Boutique. You can reach out to me at any of those. If you feel like you just need to talk or whatever, hey, I'm here. It will be confidential. I'm also on Instagram, Thick Chica, Sweet and Chic Accessories, I think, on Instagram. I always mess that name up. But anyway, and then I'm also at it's the Wovi, T-H-A-W-O-V-I. On Instagram as well. So if you just feel like you need to talk, feel free to hit me up. I love to encourage.
Awesome. Well, we're getting ready to end this Dinner and Dialogue episode, and I am so appreciative to everyone that listened, and our special guest, Miss Stephanie Renee, owner of You Matter Tutoring.
Yeah.
Phenomenal co-host, Miss Miranda Stuff, the owner and operator of so many things, but I baby, one of them jacks of all trades is gonna be a master. One of them.
Hey.
So anyway, I thank you. I appreciate y'all so much. I love you.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. We look forward to having dinner and dialogue with you again. Talk to you soon.